south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, let's start with an email that promises to lead us to some sad news here in Latin America. This one's from one of our regular email contributors, who calls himself Nonanimous. He says, "Dear Johnny, I've been working my way through your archives and recently hit on a show from a couple years ago when you spoke of going to a traveling fair with amusement park rides and animals. That caused me to remember when my children went to such a fair in Jocotenango, that would be Guatemala. The feature that caused us most surprise was the lack of many common safety features, such as fencing around spinning rides to keep bystanders from getting hit by cars and rides, etc. The crowd just had to eyeball it a bit and make sure another part of the crowd didn't push him way too close for comfort. In fact, I made it an explicit point to tell my kids that in this society, Latin society, it's not set up to protect people from their own bad and stupid judgments. In fact, I heard of a gringo who got killed by a lion when visiting the Guatemala Zoo in the city. He stood up close to the fence enclosure to get his picture taken, and the bars were far enough apart that the lion was able to swoop down, grab him, and kill him through the bars. Another story I have goes along similar lines. I visited Guatemala back in 1993 and was driving with a Mexican friend in Guatemala City. We were cruising along a highway at about 100 kilometers an hour, around 65 miles an hour, when we started noticing that there wasn't any traffic on the road at all. Suddenly, looking ahead, we could see the highway ended abruptly and completely. We slammed on the brakes and, with tires still screeching, exited the pavement traveling at about 40 kilometers an hour, around 25 miles an hour. Fortunately, we didn't sustain any damage as we bounced to a stop on uneven ground in a cloud of dust and dirt. You know, back then, the signage was very limited, if non-existent. You've been in Latin America long enough, Johnny, you probably don't notice any more of the scarcity of safety features, but they are quite noticeable to those of us newly arrived from the U.S. That said, just a quick comment on the U.S. election now. For years, I've thought I'd like to live in a banana republic. And now I feel like I do without ever having to leave. That's it, Johnny. Best wishes, Nonanimous. All right, let's hit on this stuff bit by bit. First, let's talk about amusement parks here in Latin America, specifically traveling amusement parks. They're always coming through. You see them everywhere. By the way, most all of them, the big ones anyway, come from Mexico. Believe it or not, unlike the first world where kids are way too sophisticated for that tacky white trash stuff now. In fact, I don't even know if traveling amusement parks exist anymore up in the States. In any event, what I hear from my own nephews and nieces up in Chicago, they'd be embarrassed to be seen at such a tacky event. I guess up in the States, carnivals and traveling amusement parks have gone the way of drive-in theaters. As one young, hip U.S. teenager down here with his expat parents who spoil the feces out of him told me, he said, "Amusement parks with rides and stuff? Are you kidding? Boring." Which surely made me think traveling amusement parks up in the States have gone the way of the dinosaur, except maybe way down south in Crackerland. But if you think all those classic heavy metal rides, the Scrambler, the Twister, the Tilt-A-Whirl, the Hammer, they're all rotting away in junkyards up in the States now, well, you'd be wrong. Guess where they ended up? Just like so many of the old worn-out cars up in the States, they ended up here in Latin America. They've got a second lease on life, the old dead cat bounce. You see them all the time down here, patched and painted, dented, rusted. In fact, right this very minute, there's a big old circus slash amusement park called Circo Hermanos Juarez, which means Juarez Brothers Circus. And it's not a half an hour from where I'm doing this show right now. And believe me, with kids, teenagers, even adults, there's no shame or embarrassment attached to going to the circus or an amusement park. Not down here. Again, it's all about the lag time. Now, I've been to some of those amusement parks myself, and you don't see the way too cool 2% helicopter kids, you know, faces glued to their smartphones. They're most exclusively for the poor and middle classes here. Though every so often you do catch a glimpse of some upscale entitled young kids and their bodyguards accompanying them on the rides. By the way, I was always secretly hoping a kid in the backseat of the roller coaster would let loose and vomit in a bodyguard's earbud. Now, that would make my day. I am waiting for that eventuality. So anyway, you have to assume that the traveling amusement park business here in Latin America, though booming now, is definitely on the way out and will soon be in decline, since it's so predictable that Latin America follows U.S. trends with some lag time. Now, it's part of our gringo advantage that we notice these things, and why, when we act on that knowledge, we often come up with very successful businesses ourselves. Now, just in the last few years, stationary amusement parks have been popping up throughout Latin America, operating in the same place all year round, on the order of Six Flags, Knott's Berry Farm, Coney Island, Disneyland, but on a very small, less detailed scale. And since all these amusement parks are relatively new, the rides and attractions are newly built too. That means they're safe and built to first world standards. And as our emailer Nononymous mentions, as far as the safety standards, it's buyer beware, especially at the traveling amusement parks. And even though all the rides and amusements you see are the same ones you rode on as a kid up in the States, the fact is, the Scrambler or Tilt-A-Whirl you're riding right now in Nicaragua could be the very same one you rode on when you were six back in Cleveland. So are they well-maintained and up to first-world standards? The new ones, probably. It's the older, shabbier-looking stuff that's been welded and patched 100 times that you might want to take a pass on. And yes, it's true, every once in a while you read in the paper that someone got hurt or killed on one of these rides. From what I can see, it's almost never because the ride itself broke down or had some kind of defect. It's almost always because of operator error or a grandstanding kid trying to show off. But as old expat Eddie always says, half the fun is knowing there are risks and dangers to the experience. Take skydiving or hang gliding, for example. People die every year. It's the risks and the thrills that motivate people to want to do those things. When people get hurt up in the States, they sue, they pass laws, they ban things. You know the story. At least down here in Latin America, you're pretty much responsible for your own body and what you want to do with it and subject it to, or not. Nothing wrong with that. It's the way I like it. So, risk taker or not, and by the way, just by coming down to Latin America, that shows you're kind of a risk taker, doesn't it? That said, down here, it's for you to decide. Whereas up in the States, everything's pretty much regulated to death by the nanny state, and people are used to it. Well, anyway, here's a part of his email I'd like to comment on. He says, Johnny, you've been in Latin America long enough, you probably don't notice anymore the scarcity of safety features, but they are quite noticeable to us newly arrived from the U.S. Now, I believe that's totally true. However, if I just pull back a little and think about what safety conditions were like at amusement parks and such when I was a kid. I lived in Chicago, went to all the big amusement parks. We had Riverview, a huge stationary amusement park with a roller coaster called the Fireball. It was the world's fastest roller coaster, and one called the Bobs. And that one practically ripped your stomach and your heart out. Now, those were wooden roller coasters, and they had one called the Comet, too. And those harsh Chicago winters kind of rotted a lot of those wooden supports. I remember once riding on one of those things and a piece of wood actually fell off and hit the ground. Now, if I flash back to those days and the minimal restraints they used when they strapped us into those things, I have to say it reminds me a whole lot of Latin American amusement parks here today. So those of us who lived back then knew about a looser, freer society. And kids today, people, I guess, under 35, even 40, let's say, were brought up in a much more controlled and regulated world, and they just don't know what it was like way back when your mother let you out at 8 in the morning and said, come home for lunch. Then you came home for lunch, and 15 minutes later, you're out on your bike again till sundown. I understand these days that would be prohibited. Social services would certainly view that as child neglect. The 800 numbers would be called, and child health care services would be over, and you'd be forced to attend some parental counseling classes or worse. So yes, when you come down here to Latin America, you will see many things as they were up in the States back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And if you bring your kids down, you'll actually have to parent them yourself. You won't be able to rely on the so-called benevolent nanny state, because there just ain't none down here. Which is why I never recommend Latin America for people who've bought into the Big Brother thing, hook, line, and sinker. And the fact is, they wouldn't come down here anyway. Unless they were coming down as kumbaya, Mormon-eyed do-gooders. But they'd never come down to actually live here. They think that's kind of nuts, which is a good thing as far as I'm concerned. And that's one of the reasons Latin America presents, for me anyway, the perfect plan B. And the only time you'll ever have to deal with gringos who are in love with the first world nanny state is when you're on the gringo tourist trail. You'll run into them here and there. And just like up in the States, you won't have anything profound or stimulating to talk to them about. They just don't get it. They never will. Unless they have some kind of family disaster or trauma up in the States. Financial, physical, social, or otherwise. And believe it or not, that's how a lot of people eventually see the light. And decide that they too need to get out of Dodge Plan B. I know, I'm babbling on and preaching to the choir, right? Now, when we talk about amusement parks and circuses, we have to talk about what I consider one of the big negatives of living in Latin America. That is, most people treat their pets and animals like crap. The fact is, there are abused animals everywhere in Latin America, and people don't seem to get it. And most, unwittingly, contribute to the problem. It's like a parent who complains about or puts down other people's kids, yet his kids are disasters. In fact, the other day, I was visiting someone's house, way out in the boonies, and stuffed way in the back room by the pila, the outside wash bin, was a tiny little dirty cage with a beautiful but damaged and neurotic parrot in it. And the parrot, who could barely turn around, was living just a terrible life. In fact, it was so neurotic, it had a habit of scratching its head on the top of the cage and had removed all its feathers on the top of its head. I mean, come on, what do you do with people like that? And when I mentioned it to the young girl of the house who owned that parrot, she said, yeah, I have to get him a mate. Then he'll be happier. That'll occupy him. Yeah, right. And she'll put him in the same tiny cage. Imagine that. And sure, they have animal groups and organizations with no teeth down here, like the ASPCA and such, but they've got no power. And most of them, by the way, the groups that help and save abused animals are run by, surprise, surprise, gringos and gringas. With a few highly educated and good-hearted Latin people, almost exclusively Latin ladies thrown into the mix. Now, you heard me mention before that almost all the circuses that come through Latin America originate in Mexico, who, by the way, get most of their circus animals from the U.S., generally buying animals from the first world that are considered second-rate, poorly trained, or no longer considered good performers in first-world shows and circuses, which are closing down left and right and selling off their animals to make some dough. That said, here's an article from a newspaper called Diario del México, which talks about that very subject. It's entitled, Mexico's Circus Animals Are Going Extinct. It starts out by saying, Mexico's Secretary of the Environment and Natural Resources Department reported the new circus animal audit for the year. He said, last year, by the summer of 2015, they had a count of 1,298 animals performing in the 80 circuses in and around Mexico. And the tragedy is, he said, of those 1,298 animals we counted last year, there are only 300 alive and accounted for as of our latest 2016 animal audit. Then it says, Teresa Moreno, a veterinarian liaison between Mexico's Environment and Natural Resources Board and the circus companies in Mexico, said the almost 1,000 missing animals were sold to private collectors and taxidermists. All of this happened within 1 year. And, she said, some were sold to animal traffickers for their skins. Others were sold to zoos, often housing them in horrific conditions. So, how'd that happen? How did 1,000 animals disappear? Well, in December 2014, the Mexican Congress approved the General Wildlife Law due to the fact that so many animals are kept under horrific conditions in zoos and circuses. So this new law, for the first time, ordered yearly animal inspections and fines and harsh sanctions for owners who were found abusing their animals. Did you get that? It's me again, Johnny. So it looks like, you see, they passed this law, and the owners of these circuses got rid of all their animals that showed obvious signs of neglect and abuse. All, of course, to avoid the fines and the sanctions that would surely have come during the next inspection. So again, as usual, pusbag malignant politicians passed a law that had very negative secondary effects because they didn't think it through. But it gets worse. It says here the general wildlife law passed just 1 year ago has no stipulations for the government to oversee the destinations of the species when sold. They left that in the hands of the pusbag circus owners. Guess who added the pusbag part? But there's more. Now, an article about zoo animals from Venezuela. This article is from July 12, 2016. It says, at least 50 animals have died in the last 6 months at just one national Venezuelan zoo alone, the Caracas Zoo in Caracas, where people are actually paying attention to these things. Goes on to say, Marlene Cilefontes, a union leader for employees of state parks agencies, Imparques, which oversees Venezuelan zoos, said that the zoo lost its Vietnamese pigs, the tapirs, rabbits, birds, etc., etc., as the animals went weeks without being fed. Meanwhile, other animals at the zoo are in various stages of malnutrition. The lions and tigers, which should be on a carnivorous diet, are being fed mango and pumpkin just to get something in their empty stomachs, while the elephants are being fed tropical fruit instead of the usual required diet of hay. According to a veterinarian at the zoo, the big cats are being fed slaughtered thoroughbred racehorses from a nearby racetrack that's gone out of business. He also reported that the bison are so weak that they're being pecked at by wild turkey buzzards. Turkey buzzards, we call them turkey vultures up in the U.S., only eat dead animals and the near dead. They prefer decomposing carcasses, indicating the very poor condition of the remaining animals. So how about it? Which rich do-gooders from the first world should help those animals out? How about all those rich socialist, big-mouth, suck-ass Democrats who had all those spectacular photo ops with Hugo Chavez when he was alive? And Madero after him. Oh, they're there for the good times. Where are they when you really need them? Where's Sean Penn and Danny Glover? Where's Harry Belafonte and Oliver Stone? Where's Kevin Spacey, Naomi Campbell, and George Clooney? How about Don King? What about Michael Moore? Hey, I got it. How about we put Michael Moore on the Venezuelan diet? But I digress, as usual. All right, as for the last part of the email from Non-Anonymous, he talks about the bad and unmarked roads and the driving conditions in Latin America, specifically in Guatemala. Actually, it doesn't make much difference which Latin country you're talking about. They're all basically the same as far as their roadways and road design. It seems like every road and highway designer is a schizophrenic moron with a mail-order engineering degree. But let's not go overboard on the compliments. For example, every Latin country's got beautiful first-world concrete highways, of course, but only, it seems, wherever there's masses of first-world tourism, including the streets around high-end business centers, malls, first-world gated, guarded communities, and airports. Oh, and we must mention the roads and the signage are very nice in and around those areas where malignant political pusbags, embassy people, and their families live. As for the other 95% of Latin America, the roads and the signage are very hit and miss. 1 minute you're on a perfectly fine concrete or asphalt road, and minutes later there could be giant potholes, buckles, and cracks. And what's really annoying is when a nice two-lane highway suddenly becomes one lane or just ends. Which means when you're driving, you always have to be on your guard. Forget about gliding along and talking on your cell phone or text messaging. Oh, everybody does it all right, but that's a cause of many, many accidents down here. And why in Latin America you should put very little faith in the other driver. Sure, you can have 100% faith in yourself as a driver, but remember, even the best drivers down here drive crappy cars that often don't have headlights at night or taillights. And you know, the number one cause of accidents down here is being rear-ended by a tailgater. Why? Because everyone tailgates, and I mean everyone. And often, you know, you see the strangest things while driving down the street. For example, while riding along on a beautiful concrete highway, often you'll see from a distance something weird in the road. As you get closer, it might just be there's a big chunk of concrete missing from the road. How'd that happen? Who knows? But things like that just pop out of nowhere. So know that even in the daytime, if you have your eyes wide open and you're driving very, very safely, you will do a lot of dancing and swerving to avoid that kind of stuff. Then, of course, you longtime listeners know about those tumulos, those speed bumps that are everywhere down here. Many of them so high, especially the ones out in the boonies, that often you can't even slow down to a snail's pace and pass over it without scraping bottom. Still more reasons why you don't want to drive at night unless you've driven that way many times before. Even so, things change in a hurry down here. And lately, with all that extra traffic clogging up the big cities, comes another driving nightmare. Many heavily traveled Latin roads are switched to reversible lanes during rush hour. So, for example, in the morning, you could be driving down a normal four-lane road, and 2 hours later, in the same place on that same road, suddenly all the traffic in that lane is coming in the opposite direction. Yeah, I know. Reversible lanes are the hallmark of bad, worse than substandard engineering and road design. That's a lesson they taught us in engineering school, by the way. So when you see that happen, it's simply another government failure. Though people eventually take it for granted, there's nothing normal about it. Which gives me the perfect reason to mention once again that it's never a good idea to buy a brand new or very late model car unless you're prepared to handle the consequences of terrible drivers around you and a crappy, ever-changing infrastructure. The fact is, everywhere you go in Latin America, there are unsound bridges that should have been repaired or replaced years ago. Something that most drivers never think about. Sure, when most of them are built, they're built to first world standards, but then, just like everything else in Latin America, there's just no maintenance or follow-up. It's a culture that responds to crisis, and that's about it. For example, when you're driving down the road and you pull up to a stop sign, have a look at the trucks and cars in front and on the side of you. Now, look at their tires. Down here, people do not buy new tires just because they're bald. They buy new tires only when they're flat and won't hold air anymore, or they have a blowout. Same with oil changes. I'd say 80% of Latins with cars have never done an oil change. When the oil gets low or the idiot light comes on, they just top it off with the cheapest oil possible. Which is one of the reasons why so many Latin cars burn oil prematurely. They don't change it, the motor gunks up, the engine wears a bit, moving parts get sloppy, and it starts burning oil. In fact, I've talked to Latins who own cars who don't even know they're supposed to change the oil. You've all heard me hit on certain of these points before. But to see this stuff for yourself, you really need to get some boots on the ground. And the best way, of course, is to come down to my January 2017 Expat Insider Seminar. It kicks off a little more than 2 months from now. And I do have a few spots left. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com, click on Johnny's 2017 seminar link, and join me for an adventure I'm sure you'll never forget. And if you can't make it down to the seminar for whatever reason, there's always the next best thing, my Expat Essentials course. It's a 35-video course by yours truly on how to get your Plan B on the ground and running from right where you live up in the States. To find out how you can accomplish that, just go to www.expatplanb.com. Go there and check out my 3 free videos. That's www.expatplanb.com. That's where you'll find my new Expat Essentials course. Yep, the first world's cracking around the edges and we all need a Plan B. A way to get out of Dodge. How far along on that Plan B are you? All right, now I should mention I have a lot of Europeans who listen to this show, The Expat Files, living in Latin America. I'd like to read this email from a German listener who tells us some things that are quite extraordinary. So, here it is. Dear Johnny, I'm a German libertarian working in Latin America and scared of what is happening in Europe. That's where I have to go back when my project is done. I learned about the flag system and have acted upon it. That would be the multiple flag system that people talk about, including me, in my Expat Essentials course. Anyway, he says, the European community, that zombie construction that does not want to die, for good or for worse, becomes more and more dangerous by the day. I really don't know how European people feel when they must retire, but I think for myself about not returning to Europe when my job is finished here in Latin America. I have been trying to imagine a future life for me somewhere in this Latin region. Then I suddenly found your expat files on the internet. I am very thankful for your free insights and you often make me smile, but I'm no client for you. As you see, I have had boots on the ground here in Latin America for many years and am no U.S. citizen. It is more that your thoughts allow me to verify my own. I know I'm not alone anymore. Both of our views about the world and Latin America are right on track. You get my big thumbs up. Then he says, Johnny, your name is German-rooted. Do you understand German? If you do, you might like this. And he gives me a YouTube video to watch in German. And man, if this doesn't tell it all. Here's what it says translated. A German, he says, explains in the video that every migrant child to the EU gets 1,000 euros a month from the government. But every German child only gets 130 euros a month. Then, in the video, the guy shows copies of payouts to migrants. Actual cases were two migrant adults and five kids get 3,500 euros a month, along with rent and Medicare, transportation costs and kindergarten expenses, all worth a total of around 7,000 euros a month, which is around 8,000 US dollars a month. That's for a formerly illegal migrant family. And then the guy on YouTube says, here's the absolute topper. Here's a case of a Muslim immigrant coming to Germany. He applies for aid. He comes with four wives and 23 kids. He receives over 30,000 euros a month in cash from the German government. Then the email says, if this is not suicide for my ex-society, I don't know what is. Then he says the case for a normal German is the following. To have a decent income of 7,000 euros a month, a German must earn 11,000 or 12,000, and the rest is taken out for taxes. Then he says some dentists or professionals make that, but no average Johnny or Frank. What exactly is going on? Of course, to the logical mind, he says, they are all stupid socialists. But I do have some knowledge, and I find that knowledge gives me some power. So thank you very much, Johnny, for what you do, and best wishes. Signed, Frank, from Germany. Wow, now that's something I've never heard come out of the first world media. You think the German government wants the common people to know that? That every migrant child that ends up in Germany gets 1,000 euros a month? That's over 1,100 US a month. And the guy that came in with four wives and 23 kids gets 30,000 euros a month. You know what that is? Just about $400,000 a year. And this given to a Muslim migrant who most assuredly didn't even have a high school education or made $300 a month in his own failed state country. By the way, if you want to see that amazing breakdown on that YouTube video, send me an email and I'll send you the link. Like Frank says, it's the suicide of an entire society. Sound familiar? So I'll ask again, how's your plan B coming?
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.